wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Monday morning, everybody. Happy Martin Luther King Day to you all. We are working this morning. I don't know that there are many people that are. The roadways were pretty barren this morning. And so have a great day. But if you are listening, if you are up and listening, you're more than welcome to get in and talk about everything that happened this weekend.
Got a lot, man. It's a good day. I was excited about coming in. You know, I feel bad for my Cowboys.
Aren't you always excited about coming in?
Yeah, but more so this week because, you know, I was excited about talking about my Cowboys. I thought we would win, but unfortunately we lose another playoff game.
Yeah.
We disappoint again. Those Texans now have four playoff wins, and our Cowboys have three. So, you know, we just continue to be a pathetic, sad sack organization that just spends a bazillion money on backup running backs.
Yeah.
Win, not quarterbacks who you don't win because of, who make bad mental errors at the end of games. And then we have an owner who's a GM. So, you know, I would much rather be the Texans than our pathetic excuse for an organization in Dallas. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I know. And, you know, I saw plenty of people posting because you are a big Cowboys guy.
Oh, man.
You with a Cowboy
lifelong
hat on.
Lifelong.
I saw you with a Cowboy sitting at the desk with your Cowboy hat on.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, yeah, that was interesting. You know, there are so many things to tell. I guess we can start with that. I'm listening to the show before ours, and that Keyshawn and Dan Orlovsky spent, and please, if we ever do this, you know, just shut off our mics, Aaron. If we spend 20 minutes talking about the same thing, going back and forth on the same thing over and over and over again, please, don't not only just blow
well,
up the building, Aaron.
We've done that lots of times.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And it's terrible, and it's terrible radio. Make your point. And get
what do you? What do you? What are you like? What are you referencing?
Well, I'm referencing Keyshawn and Dan Orlovsky.
By the way, in case anyone's confused, that was facetiousness with the whole cowboy thing. No.
I've seen you with a cowboy hat on at the desk.
I had to take a picture that was unfortunate, but it is an organization that they made the playoffs. Congratulations. And I'd almost rather they make it every single year if they could do this. If they could do this, I'd almost rather they make it 20 years in a row and lose 20 years in a row. That would be better than not even making
it,
wouldn't it?
Yes, that's good.
Wouldn't it if they kept making it and kept losing?
I got a buddy who's such a Cowboy fan, and he the laced with profanity texts that I was getting about his football team.
Did you tell him you didn't care?
Did you tell him
we had the points?
This is what you deserve. You root for a pathetic organization. So, I mean, you get what you deserve. Get what you deserve. Our organization, first class, always has been. What did they always say about Bob?
They said he was a classy guy.
Classy. Yeah. Do you know what they say about Jerry? Toilet sex. That's what they say about him. Well, don't you remember that bathroom picture?
Bathroom picture.
You don't remember that picture of him in the bathroom?
Are you skipping ahead to the Chiefs and Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. That was a different one. That was Ben.
Are you skipping ahead to a different guy? Okay.
Yeah. No. You don't remember that picture of Jerry?
Toilet sex?
Yeah.
I want me some glory hole.
Oh.
Well, there you go. There's more of that.
I don't even know how that's even in context.
So Keyshawn and Dan Orlovsky went back. Keyshawn feels like it was a great, great play. You know, other than...
Tell the play. You didn't say the play.
Well, the play. I mean, if you haven't seen the play, then I don't know.
If you weren't watching, the Cowboys had a grand total of about 40
seconds.
They had 40 seconds to get down the field and score a touchdown. Right. They get 20 yards on the first play on a catch and lateral. Then they get another 10 and get out of bounds. Then they get another 10. They gain 40 yards in 26 seconds. San Francisco couldn't keep them from getting out of bounds. It was D'Amico Ryan's defense did a pathetic job. Then the Cowboys took the snap, and Dak ran a quarterback draw, a called play, a quarter back draw gained, I don't know, damn near 20 yards.
Something like that. Well, it was whatever it was, it was about 10 yards too long.
Well, how much time was on the clock at the time?
14.
There's 14 seconds. There's enough time to gain yards.
Get down, spike the
ball. In the field, get down, spike the ball, have one last play. And he did, but see, there's a rule that the umpire has to touch the ball and set the ball.
Right.
That is a rule. It actually came up earlier in the game as well and screwed the Cowboys. And Dak tried to set it himself, and he just completely.
Do that, though. You don't know this?
And Well, Dak doesn't know it.
Why shouldn't Dak know? Whoa. Then you know what? McCarthy, you're fired right now. Kellen Moore,
no,
you're fired right
let
now.
Let me tell you something. This
if
was
you a, don't know this, Dak, as an NFL quarterback.
Dak has run so many two-minute drills, he knows this. Dak had a brain fart. Dak showed low football IQ and football awareness. It didn't cost them the game because there was definitely no guarantee.
Had one Hail Mary left.
Yeah, there was no guarantee, but it wasn't even a Hail Mary. No, it opens up your playbook a little bit.
No, it absolutely does.
And Dak had no awareness of what he was doing. It was a simple, Tony Romo laid it out perfectly. All he had to do was turn and hand it to the official who could have spotted it very quickly. And you're in business and you probably have about 2 seconds left. Instead, the way it got set up, the Cowboys run out of time and, you know, it happened to him twice. Once when the clock was winding down after the fake punt, that was just the most confusing thing in the world. And what a way to end with your $40 billion quarterback not understanding what the rules are.
Here is the play. Aaron, you got the play, right? You got Mike. Okay. You got Mike McCarthy talking about the play and how it ended the game.
We call thresholds and, you know, field position, what yard line you're at and what you're trying to get to, too, based on, you know, defense that they were trying to, the defense that they were playing. They were in a sideline defense, so they were protecting the sidelines. And so that was the best option to, you know, to be able to get the ball. I mean, it's like anything else. Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. You know, it's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officiators putting the ball obviously wasn't in tune, wasn't, you know, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. If that's the quote you're looking for?
No. First of all, can't be dumber. You got a slide earlier. You're picking up a few more yards for whatever reason. It's not enough time for everybody to get to line of scrimmage. There were guys on the Schultz, and there was another player wasn't set up anyway.
We're watching it live right now. So it's a quarterback draw. No one should have gone down the field more than 10 to 15 yards. Right now you slide at about the 30-yard line. You make it a 10-yard gain. You slide, and then you got – or 20 – could have slid right there. So somewhere around the 24. You slid. You get it to the umpire. It actually would have been a good call.
There's still 10 seconds left, but he kept going.
It would have been – even here, though, if he hands it to the – umpire, whoever sets it, he still would have had enough time. That mistake by Dak Prescott, because he gained in 5 seconds, he gained a bunch of yards. That play could have still been fine if he would have handed it. And if you look at it that way, then you say, oh, I guess it isn't the play call. Then it's on Dak. It's one or the other. Which one? You pick what your poison. Because you did have enough time to work the middle of the field. You almost had to. You knew you could get 10 to 15 yards, but you had to.
With
you
14 couldn't have, seconds left, you can't run a 10-yard run up the middle.
Yeah, you could. They just showed you could.
Yeah, well, you can't. Well, not because. Well, now watch. The referee is so far behind the play. By the time he got up to the ball anyway,
what?
You did not have enough time. Look at Schultz and look at the offensive lineman. They're not ready
for
this.
Wait, there's 6 seconds left. That's more than enough time.
This is a coaching thing. They're not ready.
No. Lamb was not hustling, number one. He was not hustling back, but they had enough time. They had still 2 seconds. You could have got this off. I watched it multiple times. You had time to get this off.
2 seconds, Lance. I'm telling you, I just think it's dumb.
It's only 14
dumbest
seconds.
Dumbest play ever. Why are you doing this? Okay, if you're going to do that, throw something where you can. You got to keep the ball on the sideline. Or why not take 2 shots at the end zone instead of this?
Well, now that was something you could, but you were at the 40.
So what?
I get it, but with 14 seconds, yeah, you could have. I thought about it. But you could have still gained another 10 to 12 yards. Dallas mishandled this. They absolutely mishandled this. Dak Prescott mishandled. They snapped it just after zero, and that's with all the nonsense that went on. They had time to get down and do that, and they didn't. Dak's inability to think coherently to hand the ball, because actually none of the receivers ran routes beyond the 10 to 12 yards. They knew what the play was, basically. Now, it's just, I would point out that there's a lot more to get to than just this play. The mistakes that you have to fade if you're San Francisco from Jimmy Garoppolo are just unbelievable. This team has Super Bowl potential, except for the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo can't not make bad throws and bad decisions.
Yeah.
He just is going to, it's not all game, but he's going to do something at an inopportune time that's going to kill you. Missing that throw, John, did you see the throw he missed in the game yesterday? Which would have been in the, it was either third or fourth quarter.
Wide open.
I was like, oh my God, that's kind of like the Super Bowl throw.
Well, San Francisco made.
That game is over.
The roughing the punter. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then
missed
a wide open guy, like you said. And then screwed up the quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
That ended the game.
That was a soup sandwich fiasco where they were screwing up a
Dallas
soup sandwich.
Was still in that football game.
And this happens all the time with Mike Shanahan teams or Kyle Shanahan. And I'm not saying those are all Kyle Shanahan's faults, but why does it always feel like Kyle Shanahan teams, even offensive game plans like, you know, with Atlanta in a Super Bowl, that stuff blows up in his face in the fourth quarter.
All right, so anyway, we got so much to do. We did that one play was just mystifying.
Listen, the Cowboys are out again.
Unfortunately, but man, chalk showed up this weekend. The books took a beating, and it was a great weekend for the players. Not so great for the bookies. We got a lot to talk about. We got the upcoming lines that we'll talk about for next weekend as well. We've got Rockets winning. We've got Mike Rice. We've got all kinds of Texans talk with coaching interviews. And Nick Caserio, we haven't even touched on his – I don't know if I want to call it a – I don't know what to call it. It was just him babbling quite a bit about a lot of nothing stuff.
Again, it was the same thing
over. It happened at 11 o'clock on Friday. So
now, he answered a lot of questions. I heard the whole thing edited, like tightened up with any space between answers where another station literally tightened up the entire thing. And it was long. Like, he answered a lot of questions. He spoke a lot of words. There was a lot of words that were spoken.
There were a lot of words. It was the wordiest.
Tremendous amount of words.
It was the wordiest press conference ever.
He had the most words. Yeah. So many words.
It rated as the most words ever.
It was the longest answers, the most beautifully long answers. There was no information given.
He outdid himself.
Yeah, so, no, it was.
Well, there were some key words in there. Some stuff that we can discern from some of the stuff.
We have three interviews that have been completed. So when we get back, we'll tell you the three interviews that have already been completed. Two were a little surprised. Two were not surprising. One was like, what the hell? One interview was a what the hell interview.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you who those were. And how everything went down.
Yeah, we'll do that on the other side. But right now, what we're doing is Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff, over at Absolute Marble and Granite, who is the best. I got to tell you, if you're looking for a guy that's going to come to your home and he's going to do all the remodeling for you and he's going to make all those new floors, you know what? The tile, granite, marble, all of that stuff, Jeff does it all. Redo all of your floors if you have to do that, or cabinets. And you're like, well, that's not marble. That's not crap. But don't worry about it. Jeff restores, redoes. He does all of this stuff, and he'll do it for you at 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. He's been with us forever. He is going to continue to be us. No, that's not Jeff Aronoff. He doesn't really talk like that. What he does do is comes to your home, and he gets that big job done. What is it that you need done? Jeff Aronoff is there for you. But it's got to be something that you read. And oh, by the way, you got a business or you got a home that you haven't done anything to it in 10, 15, 20 years, you really need to, all right? It's garbage now. And Jeff Aronoff will come and he'll make it beautiful again. What he can do with the marble and the granite and the tile, it's extraordinary, extraordinary. So if you're looking for that extraordinary work, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, it's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 717 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So here we go. This weekend, and now there are more guys, more interviewees have opened up this week, what with the losses in the playoffs. But the Texans, first of all, Brian Flores. It was the first one. He's the first guy that they interviewed. And I'm seeing so many people. Well, you see, that's the guy. As soon as they fired Culley, the next day they had Brian Flores in here. You know, Brian Flores may well be a big candidate and a top candidate for the job here. But I'm not reading anything into the fact that he came here the day after David Culley was fired. I'm not. Here's the Jerry Jones pictures, in case you missed them. Those, you don't remember those?
Oh, I remember that now.
Anyway.
Oh.
Thank you, Jackie. That's an assist from Jackie. So Brian Flores. Brian Flores, I just don't see it. I just do not see it. He is the exact opposite of what David Culley was. He cannot be a puppet. Are you sure he's not going to want... He wanted to wrest some control of the personnel in Miami away from Chris Greer. He's apparently a hothead behind the scenes.
What?
He had issues with Tua.
I got some stuff over the weekend where apparently he went full Bill O'Brien in that building. Wouldn't talk to the owner. Wouldn't take the owner's calls. Stopped talking to his assistant coaches and would scream at all of them. Was yelling at everybody in the building. Like pulling a full O'Brien was brutal to the general manager, Chris Greer. Like really became, it's almost like he was trying to get himself out of there. Like almost like, you know, some people thought, is Bill O'Brien trying to pull something to get himself out of Houston and get his money guaranteed and get out?
Well, that was verified.
Yeah. Well, no one officially.
It was verified in the book that Bill O'Brien tried to get his work.
That's what they said. I don't know if that was actually, if he concocted a scheme and got out.
Well, actually, that was before Brian Gaines was fired. That was before.
Yeah, it was before that.
Yeah,
because but there was talk about why would, is Bill trying to intentionally get out of here? Because he was just went so over the top. What I heard this weekend was the exact same thing from Brian Flores, which is a concern to me. And another reason why, what you say, even though he's part of a quote unquote Patriots way, I mean, if Nick Caserio digs around at all, he's going to find all this stuff. I do not know that that's what he's going to want in that building. As a matter of fact, I'd be shocked if he wants a coach that had that kind of response to ownership, management, and his quarterback. Yeah. I don't. That doesn't sound like something Nick Caserio would want to bring in as his second coaching hire.
Yeah, I don't. He's the exact opposite of David Culley. The exact. Now you always look for the opposite of what you just had in a head coach, but this is a reiteration almost of Bill O'Brien. I don't see it. I just don't see it. That this organization is going to go back to that kind of dictatorship or that kind of head coaching attitude. I don't know. He is a great head coach. I mean, I see what he did with that team. I get it. I just don't see him coming here after what we experienced with Bill O'Brien. That said,
yeah,
Hines Ward.
Well, let me get Joe Lombardi real quick. Joe Lombardi, also offense coordinator for
the Chargers.
Yeah. He's worked with he was quarterback's coach for the New Orleans Saints from 16 to 20. He's been a coordinator with the Lions from 14 and 15. He's been quarterback coach of the Saints a couple different times. And then he was, you know, most recently this year with the Chargers. And they had some success offensively, obviously. They got some talent.
The thought was they were a little too pass heavy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's got a shot. So, but I would say Joe Lombardi's probably, I would think he's, although he is one of those guys that I don't know that a lot of other people are interviewing him right now. One of those David Culley types where you think maybe you can wrest control over him a little bit. So I'll leave it out there as a potential. I don't want to say he's
pulling
for sure
the strings
a puppet, but you know, you can have more input with a guy who's, it's his first time as a head coach. And Hines Ward, as John mentioned, he's a special assistant at Florida Atlantic. I don't even understand how he even got in the mix. Is this just Fritz Pollard?
Well, then, if this is, listen, they're trending towards guys you go, what? And that aren't even on radars? Hines Ward is probably the best candidate for the job.
I am curious if Fritz Pollard Alliance came up with this name and said, this is the guy we want to interview. Because that one is, apparently that group picks and chooses who they believe is worthy of interviewing. And if they don't deem an African-American candidate to be...
What does Corn Ferry think of it?
Down enough for it. Corn Ferry.
Yeah,
what do we care what Corn Ferry thinks?
Because, did they hire him again?
No, Corn Ferry doesn't.
Didn't they hire him again?
I mean, Corn Ferry is out there probably. No, because Nick said, what are y'all going to waste your money on Corn Ferry? Look what happened.
Oh, really?
I completely circumvented.
Really? Nick cares about wasting Cal's money?
No, Nick cares about Corn Ferry. Like, Nick, Corn Ferry, remember you used them last time. I wasn't even on a...
Wasn't even under a list.
Look who's here with a locked-in six-year deal.
I'm surprised Cal hasn't hired him again. That would make perfect sense because Cal just likes to throw his money around.
I don't get Hines Ward.
Hey, I don't know if you saw it. Gerard Mayo is available now. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, did they look like garbage.
Yeah.
New England.
Gerard Mayo will get an interview here in short time. His defense was terrible. Well, that whole team was terrible. Mac Jones was bad.
Well, his defense set a record, which was nice.
Yeah.
Giving up, not stopping the offense one time. Mm. Now, the Bills scored a touchdown on every possession except their kneel down. That's a new NFL record.
Well, it was
congratulations to Gerard Mayo.
So it was officially after last year. COVID year doesn't really count, right? You had the Cam Newton, and then it was just a sad sack year. This year, you're like, oh, is Bill back? Is Belichick back? Is the Patriots back? And you kind of in the back of your mind thought, I don't know who you liked in that one.
I like the Bills.
You like the Bills. No. And I know 5-star love the Bills. This was basically the Bills announcing, no, you're 100% not our dad anymore. We just want you to know that. We can beat you in driveway basketball whenever we want. It's not a problem. We can beat you in a fight. So you're not our dad anymore, New England. We just want to make sure that you know that. That's what that game was. It was a resounding, you're not the boss of us anymore. We don't want you to think that you're in our head because you're not in our head anymore. Josh Allen was terrific. It started another Cam Newton set of Cam Newton conversations because a couple people talked about, you know, the comp on Josh Allen, a fair comp is Cam Newton. It's a good comp coming out when, you know, college, and it was a good comp. So it started some conversations, and then that got the Carolina hole. Then it turned into Cam Newton, New England got, you know, they should have stuck with Cam. This is all they're like, I don't even know how you do that after you saw what Cam did in Carolina. But that started a whole Cam Newton trending thing. But the bottom line was, you know, a rookie quarterback was not ready to go on the road, and the whole team was not ready to go on the road. And the Bills re-announced themselves as a serious, serious contender in the AFC. We kind of forget, you don't forget about them, but I don't know about you, but, you know, when they lost to Jacksonville, that kind of felt not great. But that's the same Jacksonville team that beat a hot Colts team, relatively hot. And a Bills team that was maybe the front runner in the AFC at that time. So Buffalo's basically, they had a game in the cold weather where they said, hey, we just want to remind you guys that we're definitely a Super Bowl contender this year. I know Kansas City and all that, but we want to re-announce ourselves. And I thought that was a hell of a way to do that.
So Gerard Mayo is available. The point of this is Gerard Mayo is available. And I think Gerard Mayo is the front runner.
I think he's the favorite.
I think that is the guy that they...
Okay, Josh McDaniels is available, too.
Josh McDaniels is available. Did you see the report by Florio? Says that no one is calling Josh McDaniels for interviews.
I wonder if... number one, I wonder if any of that has to do with Joe Judge flaming out another massive flame out and Brian Flores. Flores was winning some games, though. Joe Judge, that was a nightmare. But if you start looking at Josh McDaniels was a nightmare in his building. Brian Flores, from what I found out this weekend, was a nightmare in his building. Joe Judge, a nightmare in his building. I mean, at some point, are people going to say, hey, you know what? These guys, Bill O'Brien was a nightmare in the building. These guys, well, they're kind of a-holes. Do we want to take another chance with Josh McDaniels?
Well, where did they learn from? It's learned behavior.
Exactly. And he gets away with it because he's had Tom Brady. My question would be, is it that, or is it people say, we know that he's next up for, well, you know what? He screwed the Colts. That might be one of those things where they say, we're not falling for the banana in the tailpipe trick again.
Mm-hmm. No, well, we'll see. Now let's listen. This all might be smokescreen because Caserio and McDaniels worked closely together.
Mm-hmm.
McDaniels would probably allow him way off the radar.
Yeah,
McDaniels would. I might play nice soldier and not ask to buy the groceries. All of these things. I have a feeling. I'm going to tell you this. Is it out of the realm of possibilities that McDaniels at some point a week ago or so picked up the phone and said to Caserio, "I'm ready," and hung up. And Caserio said, "Okay, that started the wheels in process with Cully out, and let's go." If it ends up McDaniels, I could certainly see where McDaniels just gave him the heads up, said, "I can't do this anymore here in New Orleans, in New England." So I wouldn't be shocked at all. I think Mayo's one and McDaniels is two. I just don't see the Brian Flores thing. I just don't. 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And our Rockets won. You know what? We got to talk some Rockets basketball on a huge weekend. We have to touch on it. But we've also got some Astros that we got to talk about. There's some stuff going on that we definitely have to get to with our the only good team that we have. Can we stop all this talk about crappy teams for a minute and talk a little Astros baseball? We can do that. We've also got, for those of you that are working today, are on the road, or you're just up early for whatever reason, which is stupid if you got the day off. But we also got, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's coming up in about 15 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike Rice, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, is going to join us at 8:30, an hour from now, to talk about everything that's happening in New England. So we'll get the lowdown there as well. I want to talk right now about Hoops, Sporting Goals, and Equipment. That's my man Keith Tate, just the best. The goal is second to none. ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com. When you go to the website, you see all the kids dunking. And you're like, how do these kids dunk on this rim? It's 10 feet high. Oh, no, it's not, my friend. You lower the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. And it's not, listen, that's all we see in the NBA now is three-pointers. And, you know, that's just basketball now. Well, not when you got a Pro Dunk Hoops. You know what it is? It's all dunks. And the kids love it. Dad, let them, Dad, they can practice their three-pointers when they're actually tall enough. But when they want to dunk, kids love it. And so you can lower and raise the goal. You've got the finest equipment that you can possibly have. You've got a breakaway rim, which is kind of weird because it doesn't break. You've got the tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion. They will stencil your driveway. They'll do it all. The installation is second to none. You're looking for the best goal. It's not even arguable. It's ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I will say this. We're looking at it, and Alex Kemp says the umpire moved the ball. He spotted it properly on the Dallas Cowboys play. Holy crap, the officiating in the Cincinnati game was atrocious. Those guys won't work again.
No, they're done.
They're done.
Adam Schefter wrote an article. When Adam Schefter has to come in and write an article
that says that
this officiating crew is officially over for the postseason, Jerome Bolgar and his entire crew, that was really a set of the miss on when a whistle blows, it's automatically a dead play, and it clearly happened before a touchdown catch. I would also argue, if I'm Cincinnati, what are you blowing a whistle for?
Yeah.
You don't blow a whistle if you're not sure if the ball's inbounds or out of bounds. And
to me, it was the right call not to take away the touchdown because it had zero effect on the play. It was right before he caught the ball.
But it's against the rules.
It is against the rules.
It was actually technically the wrong play. It's common sense to tell you that had nothing to do with the final play.
Which is why I'm glad that they didn't take it away from Cincinnati. Because
and we're laying 5.5.
Yeah, right.
Well, six. Right. I mean, on game.
733 ESPN 97.5. Rockets win. And I got to tell you, once again, Kevin Porter Jr. comes up big at the end. You know what? You can say all you want about Kevin Porter Jr. But it, in these wins that they're getting in tough and tight situations, with up one with 1:29 to play, Kevin Porter knocks down a three to put him up four.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the final seconds, obviously there was just 0.2 left, but he hit two free throws at the end of the game. But for, I tell you this, I will say this about Kevin Porter Jr. I'm, you know, not crazy about the style of play, not crazy about all, I mean, zero. There's like no off. They don't run any offense. It's just amazing to me how they get anything done. But I will say this, man, Kevin Porter, you ain't afraid of a big situation.
No, nothing changes for me. I don't think he's the right fit for them, and I think it's going to be best for them to move away from him. But what he does is he reminds you every once in a while about the talent. You know, it's those big flashes, two different, one game winner, one game sealer. Over the last three games, he's had, over his last three, he's had 18, 16, and 23, and has, you know, shot the ball reasonably well from three. He's up to 37% right now. Other than he's had a 1-for-6, a 0-for-5, and a 1-for-7 in his last five games. So he's had some really terrible 1-for-6, 0-for-5. That's
last night, 5-for-9.
Yeah, that's 2-for-18 in three of his five games, but in the other two, he was 3-for-5 and 5-for-9 from three. So, I mean, the kid's got talent. There's no doubt about it. The question is, does he have the maturity that you want? He can clearly rebound, assist. He can fill up the stat sheet.
Well, he can also he had 7 assists, 6 turnovers.
Yeah, no. So that's he's just not
this team.
If you're gonna, you have to be James almost. If you're gonna fade that many turnovers on a regular basis,
yeah,
you've got to be a much more efficient scorer, and that's not what he is.
No. You know, 22. How about 22 assists and 22 turnovers last night? Wow, that's not good basketball.
And yet they still win on the road,
and they still won, and they still scored 114 points in large, 118 points in large part because they shot 54% and 40% from three. I mean, when you shoot well, this is the gang that can shoot straight. Speaking of which, holy cow, we had Kelvin Sampson on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He played Tulsa on Saturday. He lost another. It's unbelievable how they're going down. He had to lace it up with a walk-on. Said, hey, get your ankles taped. Get in there. Let's go. You got to play now. They beat Tulsa by 2. Barely got by them. But the fact that they can win, that they're winning anything, is just amazing, amazing, amazing. And Kyler Edwards steps up with, 29, I think he had? Whatever,
7 threes.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable how he does it. He's doing it with mirrors. They're playing again tomorrow night here at home. South Florida tomorrow night here. So if you can, go and see this basketball team. It's so amazing that they win basketball games with all of the injuries. It's amazing what Kelvin Sampson is doing. It really, really is. So they deserve some love, and they deserve for some people to get out there. And
this is not an end of the – this one shouldn't – Jamal Shedd is not – or is it Sheed?
Shedd.
He is not going to be – it's not going to be a
long-term
a but season. But it was a pretty good ankle injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Latif Nuruddin, I'm just saying – Bayou City ankle foot.
I mean, you can't put Shedd on Dr. He
has an ankle injury.
Is he getting any NIL money from this?
He has an ankle injury.
Are you giving him any NIL money?
Any NIL money? I'm suggesting he gets his ankle right.
Well, I know.
Or we can just be hurt and lose all of our players if we're Houston and have an entire team full of walk-ons, if that's what you'd like.
Well, no.
You either go to Dr. Latif or you're done for the year. That's your choices.
Well, see, I'm pretty sure they have somebody themselves, or maybe they should use Dr. Latif. I'm not saying they shouldn't. All I'm saying is, if you're going to throw that young man's name in there, you better get some NIL money.
But the other two guys are out for the year. This one, I mean, ankle injuries last. They don't. It's not typically a one and done. An ankle injury takes a little time to come back from. But Houston's still number 11.
You know.
Yeah, it does. Houston's number 11 in the nation right now, but hanging on to that ranking's going to be really tough with all these.
Well, injuries. Baylor lost twice, so they're probably out. They lost to Texas Tech and Oklahoma State.
They've been
State.
Eliminated from the season.
No, they're still going to make the tournament.
Oh, well, they got two losses.
They got two.
You can't make
be the
playoffs.
First time a two-loss team ever got into the playoffs. Yeah. In basketball. Anyway, so Baylor probably out as the number one team. We'll see what happens with the rankings. And where the Cougs, I mean, it's amazing, amazing.
He's some really bad luck right now.
Right. It's unbelievable.
Really and bad yet, luck.
And yet, here they go.
We'll get through the entire, I want to get through the entire playoff slate. We have to find out what Gilbert is online right now about the Texans. I don't know if this is about the coaching search. Gilbert, just so you know, I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah.
Joe Lombardi, offense coordinator from the Chargers, interviewed for the Texans. Brian Flores, head coach from Miami, who was just recently fired, interviewed. And then Hines Ward, Super Bowl winner with the Pittsburgh Steelers, now a special assistant in Florida Atlantic. He interviewed as
Which guy do you think, Gilbert, the Texans, do you think they should hire any of those guys?
Or is there another guy you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who is it?
I would say the coach from Chargers.
The coach from the Chargers, you like him? Right. Aren't you a big Chargers fan, or was that Jason and Waco?
No, I think it's Jason and Waco.
Jason and Waco, yeah.
Joe Lombardi has, he's a relative of Vince Lombardi, right?
Yeah, he's his grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should be a good coach.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I think so, too.
We got going, Gilbert.
What?
I mean, what's the call about?
Was that you, Aaron? No.
No, that's just Gilbert.
That was Gilbert.
What are you, what's
David
going
Culley,
on?
Why they fired him, I don't understand that.
You don't understand why they fired David
Culley? Don't give a man a chance anyway.
Yeah,
I don't understand those people. Are they going to sell the team or what?
Are you hearing something?
Yeah.
Is there talk down in the Spring Branch area about this?
You hear anything about the Buccaneers are going to fill the team or what?
No, but that doesn't mean that you haven't. Have you heard anything?
No, have you?
Have
no.
you?
Have you?
No, have you?
No,
no
have you?
You?
Well, forget about it anyway. I'm cold anyway,
You're cold?
I don't feel so good anyway.
What's the matter? You get sick again?
I'm freezing.
Well, he's turn just the
cold.
Heat on.
It's 36 outside.
Turn the
it's
heat
cold.
On.
It's 36 degrees outside anyway.
I know.
Right?
All these cold weather idiots love this. Oh, yeah? How's that? How's that working out for them? 30. Yeah, I got 38 degrees right now. But it's going to get up there, Gilbert, today. You know that, right?
Okay.
Yeah, 64. But you know what? Turn the heat on if you're cold.
All right, Dan. Well,
All right.
Okay. Well, talk to you later, then, gentlemen. Keep those egg rolls frying.
Keep those egg rolls frying. That's Gilbert's catchphrase. So when we come back,
he's got a hat that says it now too.
Mm-hmm. He does have a hat. It says Gilbert. It says any. No, it doesn't say anyway. I forget what else it says.
Big deal.
Anyway, so
does it say
anyway.
Big deal.
Big deal. It says big deal on the back. Yeah. Big deal.
Does it say big deal anyway?
No, it just says big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal. When we come back. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You guys have been great at this. You really have been. Now, I know it's a holiday. We might have to do it again tomorrow. We can do it again tomorrow because there's going to be a lot of people out there on the roadways that weren't out there today.
Mine is going to be...
Well, don't tell it now.
What I'm going to say is this one is going to be memorable, so I'm wondering if I should just hold it until tomorrow as a story.
Okay.
I had something... very funny and yet very disturbing happened at my house. And you will remember this story for a while. I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I want to tell it now or later.
Well, we can recap. Okay. We can recap tomorrow.
Maybe just
because we're going to have to probably recap a lot of the stuff that people will be hearing for the first time tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's a holiday show. So guess what? We need holiday material, and we'll have it on the other side right here. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Now's the time to call to give us what you learned something this weekend. And it doesn't have to be sports related. It could be something at your house. It could be you learned something from your wife, your kids. You learned something from your neighbor. Like Dell learns stuff from Granny all the time when she's out there gardening in her bikini.
Mm.
Yeah. No, he does. I mean, he has said it before that she's out there, and he enjoys that when he's she's gardening in her bikini.
You know, I see him all the time now. His hours have changed. He's 12 to 6, so he just walks down to my office like 4 times a day.
He does? Does he bother you while you're trying to work? You want me to put an end to this?
No, he's just like taking shots at me or different players. It just gives him a chance to heckle me more. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, taking shots at you, at me.
How does he take a shot at me? Just, I'm Teflon.
He runs you through the mud as much as
does
he can.
Yeah. Well, guess what? He and doesn't do that to my face. I'll be guess watching, what happened to him.
I'll be watching
he
players.
He get the what for.
I'll be watching players, and he's, what are you, going to unfairly criticize these young men who are just trying to get an education and do the best they can as student athletes? And you're going to try to harshly sit in judgment of them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's exactly right.
This guy, terrible GPA.
So, 713-780-3776, what did you learn this weekend? You are more than welcome to get. I knew this is a holiday show, so we're probably going to do this again tomorrow because it's a long weekend for a lot of people. So we'll do this again tomorrow at this time.
Yeah.
So, Ocho, though, he learned something this weekend. Ocho, what'd you learn?
I learned that you should always bet the over in Rockets games unless it's set at 240.
Unless it's set at 240, then bet the under. 240 is a big number to catch, but the Rockets defense is so porous.
Yeah.
Now, when the Rockets are scoring and Rockets, they turn the ball over 22 times and still
the Rockets
score 118
points. They hit one of their shooting streaks, well, sometimes they can be good shooters. You always got a chance to go over because the Rockets will take it, but the Rockets will give it back for sure. Defensively.
So, and for the most part, this weekend, man, I'll tell you what, the books took a beating. It was favorite over. Mm-hmm. And that is what the public loves to play.
Always.
And the books just took a beating.
Well, especially
the 49ers. Except here's the deal, is I think that more people bet on the 49ers than they did the Cowboys.
I think there's a lot of people with Cowboys experience. I mean, to me, that thing reeked of being a 49er play from the moment that the game came out. Cowboys don't play well in the postseason. San Francisco has the makings of being a dangerous team at any point. San Francisco had been recently hot. Mm-hmm. It was just, to me, that was one where San Francisco was either going to win. The numbers weren't going to matter. It was whoever was going to win was going to cover, period.
Well, we got a full board of people who want to give their what they learned this weekend in one
Cedric's
sentence. Thank you,
up.
Ocho, for getting it started. Cedric is next. Hey, Cedric.
What's up, Sam?
Hey, what I learned is I cannot drink 1,800 Michelob Light and Coronas on a Saturday night and I'll be at work Sunday morning.
No. Yeah. No. Well, that's on you for drinking those type of beers. I mean, of course you're going to feel crappy when you're putting all that crap into your system. If you want cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, Coors Light, now it's the world's most refreshing beer. You'll be refreshed the next morning. Trust me on this one. So pick it up, Cedric. That's on you.
I don't think drinking a bunch of beer at night is going to leave you refreshed in the morning.
Am I refreshed every every morning?
No,
yes.
You've got literally have coffee right there.
It's empty. Okay,
Time
for Coors Light.
Of course, that's also a dehydrator, too, now that I think about it.
Tommy is here. Tommy, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that nothing brings everybody together like a Dallas Cowboys loss. Yeah.
I wish he wasn't telling the truth, but he is.
He is.
He is. Nationally, it's a national unifier. And when the Cowboys lose in spectacular fashion, which... Listen, the fact that they came back and had a chance at all and the hopes get elevated and raised, because San Francisco could have just shut that thing down by the third quarter. It could have been completely over. And the fact that they kind of thought they like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
it just brings this country together. Like, I know that the country's been very polarized due to the political climate and even before then. And this has been for quite some time.
But we all can agree on this.
But this is kind of a unifying.
Yeah, it really is.
It's kind of a unifying moment.
Unified the country. Mess.
Other than for Cowboys fans.
Is this underrated mess?
Yep.
Underrated mess. What's going on?
I actually learned that the Cowboys are going to win it all next year.
Oh! See, I didn't see that coming, but he learned that the Cowboys are going to win it all next year.
Good.
And you know what? From that game, I could see where you'd glean that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as Mike McCarthy is fired. And everybody on that staff.
Does he get fired today?
I think he does.
From what I understand, there's going to be a bunch of bloodletting. I don't like this. This is when all the assistant coaches, a lot of them get let go.
Yeah, right.
From staffs.
Yeah, and that's the underrated thing about the Culley thing is all those guys that came here thought, I got to have at least a couple years, right?
We'll get at least two.
At least two.
Maybe three.
Now I'm out there again. 713-780-3776. Julian, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that nobody wants to see the 49ers in the playoffs.
Yeah. No. The 49ers are a dangerous team. I don't think there's any question about it. And how would they go up? Now they go up.
I'll be honest with you.
They can run the ball.
Do you love seeing the Bengals also? I don't think that you want to see the Bengals right now. I mean, of all the teams, the Bengals are probably the least dangerous in the AFC right now.
But
the Bengals are not a fun team to tussle with, except for the fact that defensively they're just, I don't think they're
great. We got a couple of good matchups now. Bills and Chiefs.
Oh, man.
Bengals. And now the 49ers are going up to Lambeau.
Next week is going to be really incredible.
That's going to be fun. 713-780-3776. Rico, what'd you learn this weekend, Rico? It's Mito. What's up, Mito?
Hey, Mito. There's no sweeter sound than a whole crowd full of Dallas Cowboy tears hitting the ground. That's what I learned this weekend.
Yeah.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
How about the fans throwing stuff at the players as they're walking out?
It wasn't the officials they were throwing stuff at?
No, at the players.
They were throwing it at the players?
Yeah, your girl, Jane Slater, put out a video of a cowboy getting hit and batting it away as fans were throwing stuff at the guys. As a matter of fact, you got the Dak. Here's Dak talking about that. The fans throwing stuff at the players.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team. You're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to the sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Credit to them then.
He said, well, credit to them then if they were aiming at the referees?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I saw a video. It was – and look, here it is. Here is the there's the referees running off.
It wasn't the players. It was referees.
Look, hit the player right there, and he batted it away. It was probably aimed at the refs.
I think it would be aimed. And at now the refs. That's I don't come
you know
through.
What? I'm fine with that then.
Dak, you and Dak can both catch this. Yeah. Can both catch this fine then.
Freddie, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that my wife will watch an entire football game when she has a $1,500 purse sweat on the line.
Oh, tell him, Freddie. Tell them the story.
So Tracy wanted to, we were in Vegas.
This is Uncle Freddie.
So I made her pick one of the Saturday games, and I put half the money up. And if it covered, she gets her purse. And she took the Bengals with some good advice, minus the 5.5. But that girl was pacing in the last 2 minutes.
So I get a phone call, and it's Uncle Freddie. I pick it up. Say, hey, what's up? And she's, it's Tracy. And I'm like, oh, my God, something's happened to Freddie.
Yeah.
Because that's his wife. Oh, that's Uncle scary. Freddie's wife is that's Tracy. Scary. So I'm like, oh, my God, what's happening? Yeah, what's going on? She goes, hey, we're in Vegas, and I'm going to pick a game to bet on, my first ever, and if I win, I get a purse that I want. We're going to put about, you know, it was a lot of money on this game. And she said, I just need one game. And I'm like, holy crap. But it needed to be a Saturday game, I think, is what she said. And I just said Bengals minus the points. Well, then that game gets all the way down to the end zone.
Last second.
And Cincinnati's got a chance to bury them, and they keep kicking field goals. I'm like, what is going on here?
Honestly.
I mean, they could have buried them, and that gets all the way down to the end zone. And so I'm in a restaurant. I'm at Cultivari sweating a game for Tracy
and
for that
purse.
And after they throw the interception, I literally walked over and watched the last play, saw the interception, walked back to my table. And Freddie told me, he goes, this is like the last 2 minutes have been a nightmare. I said, welcome to the last 2.5 decades of my life.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean?
Sweating. Tell you this, though.
Where you want to throw up?
If you had the Bills, you didn't sweat 1 second.
No, that was a good one.
If you had the 49ers, you didn't sweat that? You had
no,
a winner.
Not really.
You had a winner.
Yeah.
There was no way you could lose that game. But up six, Cowboys would kick the extra point and win the game if they scored the touchdown. You didn't sweat that at all. You had a bunch of Kansas City. How long? You sweated on the T.J. Watt touchdown. You're down 7-0, and then they ran out of fireworks. Kansas City ran out of fireworks at the game. They scored so much.
I know.
Let's get Eric in here and finish this up. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys, Warren. I've learned that you can have all the talent in the world, but it doesn't matter if you can't manage time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound like a defeated Cowboy fan. Was that? That's not Eric Wong.
No,
is it?
That wasn't.
No,
Eric
that's
Wong.
Not, that's not Eric Wong. He's a big Cowboy guy. Yeah. I wish Eric Wong would call in.
That's too bad for him. That's too bad for him.
I know.
It is.
They do have talent.
They do have talent.
How about? They can't get the ball. CeeDee had one catch.
Mm-hmm. George Kittle had one catch.
I know.
That's really
weird.
Well,
they kept hitting Yurtich. I mean.
Well, I mean, obviously, San Francisco. What Yurtich. And this is actually a sign of a good coach and, frankly, the sign of a pretty good quarterback and system, although I'm not sure that Jimmy is that kind of quarterback.
Except he's 34-15 under
Shanahan. If you watched Jalen Hurts, the only guy he would look for almost the whole game, especially first three quarters, was Goddard. Like, he was so locked in on only one guy. And then San Francisco basically said, we're going to use Kittle as a decoy. Y'all can do whatever you want to take away. We'll take what you give us. They also ran the ball really well. But when we get back, we'll get into that. We haven't talked about that game.
We haven't talked about Tampa.
We haven't talked about a lot of stuff. So we will get to that here in a second. I do want to tell you, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, one of the things that they have really had to do during this, the supply chain issue during COVID, their sales have been through the roof, but one of the things that they do now is they do a great job of making sure that when it comes time to have that vehicle ready, it's ready for you quickly. They, you know, everything's done differently now. They have the vehicles they know they're going to get. They come in when they come in, and they make sure they get them to you. So people are more proactive. They're more aggressive in purchasing vehicles. So it's important to them that they still get you the best offers they possibly can. And one of the best ways they do that is through your trade-in value. If you have a vehicle to trade in, they're going to give you more for that trade-in than pretty much anywhere else. They find you they will scrape to the very last advantage that they can find for you in terms of dealer cash back and incentives. And then once they're done doing that, they make sure that their car buying experience during and then after in terms of sales and service, and they make sure that that's top of the line. They're customer service index winners year after year after year. They're out in Angleton. They're about 42 minutes away from downtown, and they're well worth the trip. To start your car buying experience online, go to LanceZCars.com. That's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.